I don't care if you're a rock guy. It's hard not to get sucked into that song. Like, it's just such a powerful, like, riff, and I don't know. It's a good one. It welcomes in our friend, Mr. Neil Greenberg. I mean this sincerely. I don't know where we were, B, but last week there was a ton of analytical talk. I think it was about maybe this time last week because Jaden didn't slide in the Miami game and, oh, my God, how many hits does he take and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And B and I were definitely not on the air. And B said to me, he's like, that's why I like Greenberg, because he admits that the numbers aren't always right and that sometimes you're trying to grasp too much. Sometimes the numbers are right, but sometimes there's a conversation to be had. So, mm-hmm. Neil, I wanted to tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Definitely. I try.
What's going on, dude?
Not too much. You know, we battled COVID, and now we're battling strep. So, wow. I don't know. Yo, you know, your listeners, kids will know this, that it's like a never-ending stream of viruses.
Oh, definitely.
Dude, here's the – I mean – this will sound morbid, but if you have little kids, you're going to understand exactly what I'm saying. When my kids are sick and it's to the point where we're missing school and have to go to the doc, we root for strep because at least there's meds. If it's strep, yep. you get the penicillin or the amoxicillin, whatever it is, and bang, 3 days later, you're back in business. All the other stuff, you just got to wait it out.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, that's what we're in now. And it's awesome.
How old are the kids, dude? I don't remember.
5 and 2.
Yeah, ooh, you're in the thick of it, bro. You're in.
Yeah.
You'll get there, though.
Everything goes to the mouth, so they get sick.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg. He's a father of two, and the kids are always sick. He's also a sports writer and a stats geek, not a nerd, for the Washington Post. What do you make of cut day? A lot changed yesterday. Who do you think has the best roster in the league? Maybe... And where do the Commanders rank? Is it near the bottom?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Washington will rank near the bottom only because no one knows how to evaluate it. And I'm not saying this because people are dumb. It's because there's just too many new things to say with any definitive answer that they're an above-average roster, a below-average roster, an average, like, we just don't know. So anytime I see any sort of projections or rankings for Washington, there's a lot of guesswork that goes into it. I've talked about this before where, sure, I saw like, PFF may have had them at, like, 27th, but the error bar for that really is, like, 16 to the worst, right? Like, yeah. Average to the worst team in the league, which... it's too big of a spread to really be helpful for anybody. I'm not going to break any ground here. Obviously, I think, you know, San Francisco, Kansas City, Philadelphia, I would even put the Jets in there, Baltimore. I mean, like, these are going to be the rosters near the top. And, you know, let's wait and see what guys get picked up and where they slot, because that could change things a little bit. But, it's a tough day. I'm sure I've never had to deal with it, but... you know, you're talking about people's dreams being smashed a little bit, and, that's sad. But the NFL, there's always opportunity.
Yep.
And I think for these guys, you know, they have to keep a little glimmer of hope because injuries are just a part of the league, and you never know when you're going to get another shot.
Has it changed some, Neil, in the fact that you cut down and then you bring 17 people back?
I mean, has like my rankings changed?
No, I'm just saying, like, because I know when you got cut back in the day, wasn't that many opportunities to stay on
right.
Either a practice squad or whatever. And if you're on a practice right, squad, somebody right. get hurt, they call you up, you get a game check. So has it changed a little bit?
And that's lucrative in of itself.
Yes.
And we just never know. Like, you never know what opportunities could have presented itself, you know, at – we're always talking, you know, at the end of the season of the surprises, and a lot of times it's a guy that was on the practice squad or right place, right time, or was put in a game and did something special and the coach liked it and gave him another opportunity and is able to build on it. Like, we don't know who that those people are going to be, but we do know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of what makes the sport exciting.
I mean, it's the best sport in the world because you never know what the hell is going to happen. Did any specific moves that the Commanders made surprise you, or did anything kind of really stand out?
I was surprised at the Dotson trade.
Only
because
the
wide receiver depth was not great. And you figure a guy like him, you know, has some upside. Maybe they keep him around, try to make it work. But once they traded him to a division, you know, rival that's a Super Bowl contender, I mean, that told me everything that I needed to know about, you know, where they think his career is going. So that surprised me a little bit because usually we hear about, like, talent winning out, and I felt like he had talent. It just didn't seem like it meshed with anything here. And, you know, there's been a lot of turnover on the Washington roster. You've reported it. We've reported it. The last few draft classes haven't been great. So, it's much more of a clean slate. I didn't think that he was going to be one of the guys that was part of the clean slate. But, you know, again, they're in the building. I'm not. And, you know, they made the decision.
I think if you're trying to make sure people understand that you mean business, they got the message right there.
Right? Like that shows you that, you know, you need to make some stuff happen or, you know, you're not going to be here. I thought, like, Noah Brown was a little bit surprising. I know that they have a ton of options there. You know, that was a little bit surprising to me.
I try to give the front office
the benefit of the doubt because they have so much more information than me. But, you know, just going by the buzz of who may be scooped up quickly, you know, those are just a couple. That's a name that jumped out.
Washington sitting there with the second waiver claim. Is Noah Brown a guy you think would make a lot of sense for them?
I think so. I mean, they brought in Martavis Bryant. You know, that didn't work. You know, they've been saying since the preseason started that they didn't really know who was going to be the second wide receiver. You know, Noah Brown's 28 years old. It's not like he's football old for that position. I just think that he got squeezed out, right? I mean, there was Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Bell. You know, that's a tough spot to be in. I mean, you know, it's hard to make a case to play ahead of any of those guys. So, you know, it certainly wasn't a performance issue. He had a two-week stretch last year where he had, over 300 yards when Collins and Dell weren't available. I think it's definitely somewhat. Look, if you're going to kick the tires on Bryant, I think you owe it to yourself to kick the tires on Noah Brown.
I think that makes a lot of sense. As we zoom out here, we're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at Neil Greenberg, at Neil N. Greenberg, rather. Pardon me. As we get closer and closer to the season, I mean, we got college football coming up tomorrow night. Fantasy starting to really kick off. Is there anything around the league that you are watching that you could see as like some type of trend that emerges? I know scoring was way down in the preseason, but I don't know how much you could take from preseason. Like, what is your eye on as the season is, you know, hell, 8 days away for the opener?
14 home favorites, the most since 2014. That's a lot of home favorites, and I think that there's going to be a lot of home disappointment this year. Historically speaking, when there's that many home favorites, 10 or more, they don't cover very well. The last winning season for home favorites to cover was 2007. I'm looking at a road favorite, which I texted you earlier, the Houston Texans -2.5, which I'll talk about in a second. But I'm really just keeping an eye on the key numbers, and you know, this is a week where I play more numbers than teams. So if I have the Chicago Bears -4.5, I'll probably look at the Tennessee Titans side because just the way the margin of victory works in the NFL with threes and sevens, there aren't very many games that end on a 4-5 or even 6. Mm. So I'm betting more numbers than I am actual teams this week. But I do think that there's probably too many home favorites, and I think a lot of them are going to fall. But I do like the Texans -2.5 this week.
When you look at the preseason games and you go with the unders, when you look at the way that they don't play a lot of starters during preseason, do you look at any of those totals in the first few weeks?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a first half total in the Minnesota Vikings New York Giants game. I took the over 21.5 points in the first half. I think the new kickoff rules is going to help some of the scoring, especially early. Opening day excitement. I don't think that these teams are necessarily very good, which leads to actually more points because they make mistakes. So on both sides of the ball. So I'm actually eyeing that part. And I will probably be on some overs earlier in the season, as I said, because of the kickoff rules, because I do think field position is going to be a lot different than what we've seen in the past. And there's always going to be like a learning curve with your regular starters in actual games. But the Vikings-Giants game is something for the first half I'm excited about.
When you look at the Vikings, and I know you're a fantasy, you like it and play it on a significant level. Do you think Justin Jefferson can continue to produce at the level that we've kind of gotten used to, even with Sam Darnold, presumably a quarterback?
Yes, because fantasy football is about opportunity and volume, and they're going to get him the ball. So, yeah, I do think that that he can sustain that production. It's all about targets, and I do think that he's going to be a main focal point of the offense. I've seen him kind of come down on draft boards. He's like the fifth wide receiver taken, and perhaps if Kirk Cousins was still there, maybe he'd be like third. But I do think the volume will be there. Well, he'll be able to smash week in and week out.
So I'm going to just get hyper-personal here. I have the seventh pick in a 12-team fantasy league. Now, this is a very old-school league, right? The only thing that matters, it's two running backs, two receivers, no flex, no PPR, a quarterback, a tight end, a defense, and a kicker. At seven, do I have to overdraft a running back? Like, am I going to take Jahmyr Gibbs or Devin Achane or something?
No, you're going to take Saquon Barkley.
Really? You're high on Saquon.
Yeah, he's going from playing behind the worst offensive line to the best. He'll be in situations where Philadelphia will be leading a lot more, so there'll be a lot more touches, a lot more opportunities for him to rush the football. He'll probably be involved in the passing game as well. You know, you're kind of at a weird spot there because the big three is going to be gone, and Christian McCaffrey, Breece Hall, and Bijan Robinson more than likely.
Right.
If not, you definitely grab one of those. But I do think you reach a little bit, let them laugh or do the LOLs or whatever they want to do. But I think Saquon Barkley is a much, much better spot. And a lot of people are focusing too much on the performance with the Giants and not projecting forward enough with the improvement of the Philadelphia Eagles.
See, I'm loving this because JP is going to have to pick somebody in Philly and cheer for him.
I know what jersey he can get.
I might get stabbed.
Probably rooting for the Eagles.
Apparently there's an Eagles fan trying to take over our chat on the YouTube page.
He might get beat down.
We'll see how it goes. So you're riding for Saquon. Interesting, man.
In that spot, yes, because I think your choices are Gibbs or Jonathan Taylor. And I think is higher than both, and I think the floor is the same. So I think when you're looking at what your draft's going to look like, you're much better off going with Barkley. And I would even I might even follow that back up with another running back, and then just look for some value in wide receivers as you go along. But I'd be fine taking Barkley in the middle of
help him out, Neil. He needs the help.
Who are some of the value receivers you think are out there?
I definitely think that. You can see, like, Pickens later. I know a lot of people aren't as high on Pickens. He's going in the sixth round. I think you can definitely get him in round five and be happy. Amari Cooper's in the fourth round. You have a guy like Tank Dell. We talked about him earlier. I think there's plenty of wide receivers. There's so much passing in the league now. Like, you can trip over a wide receiver and get some decent depth. I think running back, get a couple wideouts, and then you start focusing on, like, the quarterback, and then you just wait for a tight end because it's so top-heavy after Travis Kelce and Laporta that, you just wait and get some guy with value.
Who's the first tight end first quarterback going off the board?
It should be Josh Allen in the third round followed by Mahomes. But I think like Jalen Hurts in the fourth round or even Lamar Jackson in the fourth round will be just as good. You definitely want a dual threat quarterback because they outproduce their peers by a wide margin. So I would even say if you think that like Joe Burrow, depending on how you feel about his health, but even Jaden Daniels late, I think if he's going to be involved in the running game in any sort of capacity, sliding or not, as like a ninth round pick, I think he can absolutely outperform that average draft position.
What do you make? People are the amount of excitement around Anthony Richardson with the Colts for a dude that just has not passed very much. I mean, he has not played very much. What do you make of Richardson this year?
Yeah, he's. I think that goes back to the talent, right? I mean, like he, you know, top pick, put in a situation right away, didn't really work out. You know, but I don't think he was terrible. But I think the offseason for Indianapolis was okay. You know, they had some injuries that they had to do. I know a lot of people like Richardson as like a sleeper MVP candidate. I'm not sure I go that far, but I think it's just improvement, right? I mean, it's just the quarterback position is very difficult to learn. Probably the jump from the college ranks to the pros for a quarterback has to be very significant in terms of speed and talent and competition, et cetera. So I think he's just become like a darling to get better. And I think a lot of people looking at it, well, he can't get much worse. So, you know, we might as well just say he's going to get better and go forward that way.
Last one. What do you think Jahan's role is in Philly?
Slot.
It's a good question. They're very smart people there. So they wouldn't have gotten him if they didn't think that he'd be able to impact it in some way. I think his best use as like as a deep threat that people are going to forget about, right? Like I can easily see the highlights of, you know, defensive coordinators kicking themselves, wondering why Dotson was so open, right, with A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and even like Paris Campbell in the slot. So, like, if a guy like Dotson can kind of squirt free, I think, like, we'll see those highlights. And if he's the fourth receiver on a Super Bowl contender and doesn't contribute a lot, well, he's probably not being asked to contribute a lot. So that's kind of where I see him going there.
It's going to be fascinating to watch that one. All right, Greenberg, we got to let you go, brother. I appreciate you making time for us, man.
I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Neil.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Follow him at NGreenberg. I want to get back. Go through the Commanders roster. We've got to talk about some of the biggest names cut all over the league. And maybe we're going to get into a conversation about the most overrated players in the NFL. Just getting warmed up. Day after cut day. By tonight, the Commanders roster is probably already going to look different. We got it all figured out. Nobody go anywhere.